We hope to remember in prayer this morning Mr. and Mrs. Eric van Driesten, who have been blessed with a well-born boy in this past week. Also, Mr. and Mrs. Scott Vandenberg, whose child died in the womb and was stillborn yesterday. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord, even in this very moment, as we may draw nigh unto Thee, then we must announce that there are two. One that is permitted to live, and the other that is taken away. Wilt thou remember those that mourn in this day? For thou knowest all the grief and the sorrow of their heart. Give them a place before thee, that truly they may be able to leave their all their burdens and all their cares and all their sorrows. And could it please thee yet to grant them an undeserved favor and a blessing even amidst this affliction? And also then there are others also in our midst for whom these afflictions, they are coming back time after time. Wilt thou remember each and every one in thy mercy, and all do give a place wherein they may say it is the Lord. Let him do what seemeth him good. Remember those parents who may receive a well-born child. Oh, give them in a special way. Also, in such circumstances, to acknowledge thee. And oh, that they may be so humbled before thee, that their hearts may break. Wilt thou give that child also to receive a new birth? And wilt thou remember the mother and the circumstances wherein she is? Help and do strengthen her for the difficulties they were many. Lord, remember all those also that are with child. Make thou it well, and those that have received children. And could it please thee to look upon each and every one of us together? For we are born into this world, and we have a time that is given us here upon the earth. For some that is longer, for others that is shorter. And there is not one that knows the day of his death that is hidden from us. But we know each one that we must die, and we know the cause thereof, as it is written in thy holy word. But we must learn it by experience. And this we ask of thee, O Lord, in this morning hour, O that we may learn it by experience. Before that it is forever too late, that we may know the cause of our misery, that we may know the cause of our death, that threefold death, that spiritual death which is upon us, wherein we are separated from thee in thy blessed favor and in thy blessed communion. Oh, could it be that death may be bound upon our hearts by the granting of a new life by thy Holy Spirit's work. Oh, come, Lord, with the power of thy Spirit in the day in which we live, amongst young and old among us, to work irresistibly that new birth, which is from our side an impossibility, but which is also from the devil's side an impossibility to restrain. For thou hast risen from the dead, and thou wilt also bring a church with thee out of the death, even unto life, even unto a life eternal. O, therefore thou givest unto us thy word, therefore thou givest unto us thy holy day. And Lord, thou knowest each and every one of us, the wickedness that our hearts are privy to. Thou knowest all the shortcomings. Thou knowest all the rebellion. All thou knowest all the turning away from thee, even of thy own dear children elect from a never begun eternity and called by thee out of darkness into thy marvelous light, and yet leaving thee days without number, so that it can seem as if there had never been a beginning. O Lord, that thou may come for the first time or by renewal amongst young and old, and work thou mightily to give that life to burn in our hearts unto the true and the living God. Oh, that we may be saved from so great a destruction as is surely coming upon us if we should die in that way as we have been born. Oh, cause us then to enter in through that straight gate and to walk upon that narrow way that leadeth unto life. O Lord, thou knowest each of thy own dear children also. O thou knowest when the morning light that their cry does to thee arise. O then it is even as we have sung together, and that thou wouldst remember us with that favor that thou bearest unto thy people. Oh, that there may be such a need and such a desire in the midst of us also in this morning hour, that thou may have plowed up the fallow ground, and that thou mayest have given even in the hearts of young and old such a need and such a desire that may hunger, that may thirst, that may long, and that may pant after thee, who art the true and the living God. Oh, that thy dear Son, who was born into this world, and who has come to seek and to save that which is lost, oh, that a way may be open also in the life of thy children, that he also may reveal himself, and that he also may be seen by the light of the Spirit of the Lord. Oh, that there may be an advanced people that are also waiting for him. Thou knowest how dark that it can be. Oh, thou knowest how despondent thy children as so often are. But thou hast also a favor unto them, and thou hast a time wherein thou dost bestow thy favors in a way that is so unexpected from their sight. Oh, when everything has been taken away, and when all has been lost from their sight, so that there is nothing but a mountain of iniquity and of guilt. Oh, then there is from the sight of man no hope, but thou wilt show thyself. Oh, could it please thee in this morning to so to open thy word unto us. For, Lord, when thou shuttest, no man can open. But when thou openest, no man can shut it. And this we may beseech of thee in this morning hour. Oh, that thy word and thy truth may go so open unto us,
And that it also may be for many among us, for life from the dead. Remember all that are not able to gather with us in this morning hour. Help and strengthen all that are afflicted and sick and have diseases. Wilt thou be with all those that have become old and weak? And listen perhaps by church telephone in this morning hour. And all those that mourn the losses of their loved ones. Wilt thou look upon us all together, thy servants over the length and breadth of the whole world, the student in our theological school and all that instruct him. Oh, give more servants into thy vineyard to bring thy word to the ends of the world and to the established churches. Build up thy kingdom that it may come also in our midst amongst young and old together. And that 144,000 of thy church may be brought in. Lord, help us also in this morning. Thou knowest all of our needs. Strengthen us in our body. Oh, give us clarity in our mind. Give the burning of thy Holy Spirit to live in our heart as thy servant to bring thy word. And may thou do for us as thou hast promised to put thy word in our mouth, and that the fruit of it may be experienced here in this, our flock. We ask it in the forgiveness of all our sins, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 414. Stanzas 1 and 2. O Lord, how swiftly grows the number of my foes who wantonly oppress me. Yea, multiplied are they that rise to my dismay, and day by day distress me. We announce that the election of office bearers will take place, the Lord willing, on this Tuesday, December the 10th at 7:30 p.m. Nomination for elders are Mr. James Kraft and Mr. Gerard Brunn. Mr. Gerrit van Hagenbos has asked that his name is not placed on the nomination at the end of his term. Elected, therefore, for nominations for deacon are Mr. David Arnoldusen and Mr. Jan van Hagenbos. The last collection today is for the Calgary loan repayment. Psalter 414, stanzas 1 and 2.
Congregation, the words of our text for this morning hour can be found in the prophecy of Isaiah, the 8th chapter, the last words of the 8th verse. Thus, Isaiah chapter 8, verse 8, the last words, O Emmanuel, so far the words of our text. Isaiah's appeal unto the name of the promised Emmanuel, first as a refuge by faith in the approaching calamities, and second, granting and emboldening by faith against every enemy. Isaiah's appeal unto the name of the promised Emmanuel, first, as a refuge by faith in the approaching calamities, second, granting and emboldening by faith against every enemy. Our text, congregation, that is a prophecy. That is a prophecy of Isaiah. That is not so easy, children. A prophecy. Therefore, maybe you like to keep your Bible open, because then you can follow us, the Lord willing, a little bit. Every text that has a context, that is in a sentence, that sentence that is in a paragraph, that is in a portion, that is in a chapter, that is in a book, that is in the Bible. Thus we have the nearer context, and then we have the broader context. Our text, O Emmanuel, that is coming at the end of verses 7 and 8. And those verses, they speak about waters. They speak about waters of a river. And what are the waters of that river doing? Now therefore, behold, the Lord bringeth up upon them the waters of the river, strong and many, even the king of Assyria and all his glory. And he shall come up over all his channels and go over all his banks, and he shall pass through Judah. He shall overflow and go over. He shall reach even to the neck, and the stretching out of his wings shall fill the breadth of thy land, O Emmanuel. Thus the river, what is that doing, children? That is overflowing. Thus there is a flood. That can be very fearful, especially if that river is a very large river. In the Netherlands, in this past week, then there was also some fear again, because the water, just as in 1953, that was rising very, very high because of the conditions of the tide and of the weather upon the sea. And thus, also, when there is a very, very great river, then there can be very, very much fear. And what is this river that Isaiah, he is prophesying about? That is the river Euphrates in the land of Assyria. Thus, that was no small stream. No, that was a very, very great river, the longest river in that part of the world. Isaiah, he says, those waters, they are strong. and mighty and many. And they come up over all their channels, they go over all their banks, shall overflow and go over, reach even to the neck and the stretching out of his wings. Thus it is like a bird who is taking his wings and he is stretching out those wings. Thus that water that is going throughout all the land, filling the breadth of the land. Fearful. But Isaiah, he has spoken also here of another river, other waters, and he makes, as it were, a comparison over against this great and this mighty river, and that we find in verse 6. For as much as this people refuseth the waters of Shiloah that go softly. What is that? Well, that is not a raging mighty river. No, that is a small brook that is passing by Jerusalem that has a spring that is quietly giving water to fill all the pools that are in Jerusalem. Thus, that was an especially necessary water when the enemy has surrounded that the inhabitants of the city, they still may receive water. Thus, we read here of the refused waters, Isaiah says, for much as this people refuseth the waters of Shiloah that go softly. Thus, they refuse them. And because they refuse that little brook, the Lord says, I am going to bring upon you a great river as a punishment for refusing that little brook, those little waters that I give unto you. And then that great river that is going to overtake you, it is going to destroy you. What does all that mean? Well, those two rivers, they are symbolic. Those two rivers, they are a picture that we may be given, boys and girls, to understand. So Isaiah, he will bring that message of the Lord so very close unto the children of his people. And then he speaks about the waters of Shiloah that go softly. And what does he mean by that? Then he means the Lord. Then he is pointing to the provision of the Lord and how that the Lord is providing for his own children. It is just a little brook. And that brook that is lowly, that brook that is despised in the eyes of many people. We know how that the Jordan also was despised by name in the Syrian when he said that the waters that were in Syria, they were much greater, they were much better than that Jordan River, and he has despised the Jordan. And now here we can read that the waters of Shiloah, they are despised. They go softly. That is, congregation, the Lord's way. That the Lord, he goes softly. The Lord, when he is working, and then he is not working in a way that is causing a much turmoil in this world. No, boys and girls, when the Lord is working, then it can be that no one around for a long time knows even that the Lord is working. And sometimes then you need to keep your eyes wide open. And then it is only persons who are of a character that they can discern and that they see, and they say there is something different in that boy. There is something different in that girl. Because that is not something that comes out on the streets. No, the Lord, He is working softly. We read about the Lord Jesus Himself when He will come. That bruised reed and the smoking flax, then He shall not quench them, no. But He also shall not make His voice to be heard in the streets. And now that way of the Lord, though it is so soft, yet it is also so effectual. Because those waters of Shiloh, they were waters that did not come as a mighty raging river. But how important that those waters were. Because those waters, they were giving food, they were giving drink unto the inhabitants of the city of the Lord. And when the enemy was all around, and that it was still feeding that people so softly, and yet so effectually, and so it is also with the Lord's work. And that it is a work that is quiet, but it is so powerful. Our fathers say that regeneration that is so mysterious, so irresistible in the heart of His children. The waters of Shiloh. And then it is over against here, the Euphrates. Oh, the Euphrates, that is a great river. But it is symbolic here of a great nation. It is symbolic of the nation of Assyria itself, oh, as that river, and that was a river that was mighty. It was a river that was looked up unto, that was respected, that was even idolized by mankind. So it is also with that nation of Assyria. They are very great. They are built up. They have a very great might and power in the midst of this world. Thus, to refuse the waters of Shiloh, that is to refuse the way of the Lord, and that is to choose instead the way of man, the might of man, the glory of man, the strength of man, the righteousness of man, the wisdom of man in this world. Who is doing that? Ahaz. Who is Ahaz's children? Ahaz is a wicked king. A wicked king. He is the king of Judah. And it is not only the king of Judah, but it is also most of those people, the people of Judah, they are also agreeing with Ahaz. What do we read in verse 6? For as much as this people refuseth the waters of Shiloh that go softly and rejoice in Rezin and Remaliah's son. Now you must go, boys and girls, back to the history of the Bible that you have learned. Rezin, who is Rezin? Rezin is the king of Syria. Where is Syria? That was in the north. That was north of the land of Canaan. And Remaliah's son. Who is the Remaliah's son? That is Pekah. That is the king of Israel. So you know there are two kings, right? After Solomon came Rehoboam. And against Rehoboam came Jeroboam. And then the kingdom was split into two parts. In the bottom part, then we have Judah and Benjamin. That is often called Judah. That was the greatest tribe there. And in the north, we have Ephraim. That is actually the name Ephraim. That is the name of all the 10 tribes put together. Because Ephraim, that was the greatest of those tribes. the strongest of those tribes, but also that Jeroboam, who has been the instrument to split that nation, then he was from that tribe of Ephraim. So we have Judah in the south, we have Ephraim or Israel, the 10 tribes there in the north, and up above them we have Assyria. So reason, he is the king of Assyria. And we have Pekah, he is the king of Israel or of Ephraim, that is the son of Remaliah. So we read here about reason and the son of Remaliah, that is the king of Syria and the king of the 10 tribes. And what have they done? They have made a confederacy. They have joined themselves together. And that against Judah. We read it in the former chapter, chapter 7, the first verse. And it came to pass in the days of Ahaz, the son of Jotham, the son of Uzziah, king of Judah, that Rezin, the king of Syria, and Pekah, the son of Remaliah, king of Israel, went up toward Jerusalem to war against it. Awful. Awful. Why? O Pekah, that is your brethren, Israel, Judah, you belong really together. And yet, they are not brethren. They are not brethren as since the time of their departure. And why not? Because in Jeroboam, Israel, that kingdom of the 10 tribes, they have left not only Judah, but they have left the Lord. Oh, then there were no more God-fearing kings among them. Then they have gone completely to serve the idols of all the nations that are around them. And thus they were no brethren really anymore. And yet, congregation, we have to remember that there was always a remnant. Always a remnant. A few people in Ephraim. A few also in Judah. That loved the Lord. Well, Ahaz and Pekah, they have joined together. Rezin and Pekah have joined together, and we read in the second verse in chapter 7 that Ahaz, he is terrified, and his heart was moved, and the heart of his people, as the trees of the wood are moved with the wind. Oh, Ahaz, king of Judah, he is so afraid. When he hears that Rezin has joined with Pekah, and they are going to come against him. Oh, young people, those that leave the Lord, they may well be afraid. Oh, as sometimes you hear those, they are the great boasters in the world. They do not need the Lord. Oh, no. But give a time of affliction to come. Give that the time of trouble comes. And then what? Oh, then those greatest boasters, then they are most fearful. Ahaz's heart that is moved just like the trees in the woods. They are moved when the wind is blowing. And the Lord is so good to him. What do we read? The Lord sends his servant. The Lord sends unto him Isaiah. In verse 4 of 7, and say unto him, take heed and be quiet. Fear not, neither be faint-hearted, for the two tails of these smoking firebrands, for the fierce anger of Rezin with Syria and the son of Remaliah. Because Syria, Ephraim, and the son of Remaliah have taken evil counsel against thee, saying, let us go up against Judah and vex it. And let us make a breach therein for us, and set a king in the midst of it, even the son of Tabeel. Thus saith the Lord God, it shall not stand. Neither shall it come to pass, For the head of Syria is Damascus, and the head of Damascus is the reason, and within 65 years shall Ephraim be broken, that it be not a people. And the head of Ephraim is Samaria, and the head of Samaria is Remaliah's son. If ye will not believe, surely ye will not be established. What a relief. What a relief for King Ahaz. Isaiah says, from the Lord, no, Ahaz, it is not going to happen Pekah and reason will overcome you. And yet, Ahaz does not believe it. He will not believe it. No, Isaiah, he says, you may even ask a sign from the Lord. Moreover, the Lord again spake again to Ahaz, saying, ask thee a sign of the Lord thy God. Ask it either in the depth or the heaven above. He may ask anything, children, anything. What would you ask? Isaiah, he says, the Lord promises you that you will not be overcome. You do not need to fear Pekah and reason. And I will show you, if you will ask me a sign in the heavens or on the earth, or below the earth, whatever that it will be. But Ahaz said, I will not ask, neither will I tempt the Lord. Must be a godly man. Because those are words that sound very godly. He will not tempt the Lord. He must be a faithful man, because he can just believe the word of the Lord, that he does not need a sign. No, congregation, he is a godless man. He is a man that has no need of the Lord. And he has no need, therefore, for the sign that the Lord will give. Do you know why? Because he wants nothing to do with the Lord. No, he is refusing the waters of Shiloh. And he has a secret hope. A secret hope. And where is his secret hope? That is not Syria, but Assyria. Assyria. Another nation, a greater, a mightier nation than Syria and Ephraim put together. And he has a hope that when he may go to ask Assyria for help, then he will overcome his enemies. And a sign from the Lord, no, this he does not need. The Lord, we know he gives them that sign anyway. Verse 14, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Who was that sign for? Was that for Ahaz? No. He didn't need it. He didn't desire it. But there was a people who did need it. There was a people who needed it. There was a remnant. The remnant in Israel. There was a remnant in Judah. And for them, that sign that was precious. We hope to see more of that, the Lord willing. O congregation, there is a church visible. And there is a church invisible. There is a form and there is the substance. The visible church that serves the invisible church. The form that serves the substance. And when all that is done, then the form that shall be taken away. Or are we part of that visible only? Or are we also part of that invisible? The Lord, he will not allow reason and Remaliah's son victory over Judah. That is a comforting message for Ahaz, whose heart was moved as the trees of the wind. He did not deserve that. But now Isaiah, he He follows this message with something. He follows his message with a warning. He says, Ahaz, you do not trust the Lord. What does he say, verse 6? For as much as this people refuseth, the waters of Shiloh would echo softly and rejoice in reason and Remaliah's son. That means he rejoiced in the destruction of reason and Remaliah's son. It is prophesied that reason and Remaliah's son, they are weak. And they are not going to overcome you, and you rejoice in that. But you are refusing the waters of Shiloh. Secretly, your hope that is not in the Lord, but your hope that is in Assyria. Where is our hope? Because the Lord will bring Assyria. It will be his means. It will be a rod we read in his hand. But the trust of that Ahaz, that was congregation in the wrong place. And therefore the Lord, we see that in the former chapters, chapter verse 17, the Lord shall bring upon thee and upon thy people and upon thy father's house days that have not come. Judah. That was the days of Rehoboam. That was the split of the kingdom. So from the beginning of the kingdom, what does Isaiah say? From the beginning of the kingdom up until now, there have not come days as you are going to see. And what is the Lord going to bring upon you? The king of Assyria. The king of Assyria. You go to him. You are going to ask him because you are afraid of reason and you are afraid of Pekah. And you refuse the waters of Shiloh, and you are going to go to Assyria. But I am going to bring that king of Assyria in whom you are trusting, I am going to bring him upon you. It is going to be, Ahaz, as a flood. As a flood. Now therefore, behold, the Lord bringeth upon them the waters of the river, strong and many, even the king of Assyria. That is who you trust in. And all his glory, and he shall come up over all his channels and go over all his banks. And he shall pass through Judah. He shall overflow and go over. He shall reach even to the neck. And the stretching out of his wings shall fill the breadth of thy land. Oh, you desire them. They are going to come. And you are going to see that they are going to help you, you think. When Syria and Ephraim are taken. But then, they are going to come further. And they are going to come even upon you, and he shall pass through Judah. And now we read something remarkable. Ephraim, that congregation, Ephraim, that kingdom of the 10 tribes, they are going to be wiped out. They are never going to be raised again into a kingdom. 722 BC, then we see that the kingdom of the 10 tribes, they are taken away into the land of Assyria. But in his prophecy, Isaiah views those waters continuing. He sees those waters coming on and on, even unto Judah. He sees that mighty enemy coming further and further, and he will pass through Judah. He will overflow and go over. He will reach even to the neck, and the stretching out of his wings shall fill the breadth of thy land. Oh, Isaiah trembles. He trembles within when he views beforehand by the spirit of prophecy. He views the destruction. He views the desolation, and that upon Mount Zion, upon the kingdom of the Lord, the people of the Lord, the city of the Lord, the name of the Lord, even unto Judah. And now suddenly, in the midst of his prophecy, there is a change. In this last sentence, because Isaiah, he is denouncing, he is pronouncing the judgments that are coming on that people. Then he is speaking unto that people. And now all of a sudden, that changes. That from a pronouncement of that judgment, all of a sudden there is a cry. From a pronouncement of that judgment, all of a sudden in the heart of Isaiah and out of the mouth of Isaiah comes a supplication. And the stretching out of his wings shall fill the breadth of thy land, O Emmanuel. Oh, what prompts him to do this? It is, congregation, the Spirit of the Lord that is living in his servant. It is the spirit of prophecy. And that spirit that is the living spirit of God, and that is projecting him moment by moment in the inspiration of the Holy Scriptures also. Judah, destruction in Judah, desolation in Judah, misery in Judah, the overflowing flood, the stretching out of the wings, the filling of the breadth of that land. Oh, he sees it so vividly, so clearly before his eyes. And then he says, Judah, or will Judah also be destroyed, even as Israel was destroyed? Will also Judah be wiped out? Will it be brought completely to its end? Oh, that will be so righteous. That will be so righteous, because Israel, what have they done? They have gone to serve the idols. And they have played the harlot. And her treacherous sister Judah saw it. Oh, Judah. Judah has also seen what his sister has done. She has seen the way that her sister has gone. And she has not remained in that service of the Lord either. In so many ways, Judah also has departed from the Lord. Then it would be so righteous when that desolation that is coming to that northern kingdom of Israel, that is descending as he sees the flood waters coming, and then that it is so righteous that that judgment is also coming upon that nation of Judah. But then he says, can that really be? Oh, can Judah really perish? Oh, is there not a higher decree concerning Judah? Is there not also revelation? Is there not a prophecy concerning Judah? Has it not been spoken upon the deathbed of Jacob of old? Judah, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise, that the scepter shall not depart from Judah until Shiloh come, and he shall pass through Judah. He shall overflow and go over. He shall reach even unto the neck. Oh, Isaiah sees it coming. Boys and girls, when that water is coming, he sees that water rising higher and higher, as if that people are standing and that water is coming right up onto their neck. That means that it looks like that people, they are completely, very soon, also going to be destroyed. And with such a vision, and then he is suddenly turning and he is saying, at the stretching out of his wings, and they shall fill the breadth of thy land. O Emmanuel, we say, congregation, Isaiah's appeal unto the name of the promised Emmanuel as the refuge by faith in the approaching calamities. Thy land, O Emmanuel, the threat that is so very, very great, and because the enemies, they are so very many, and the enemies, they are so very mighty, and we have no strength against this great company that is coming against us. It is true that we deserve not to live. It is true that it is righteous when thou wilt permit it, when thou wilt let them come on, and when that destruction shall so overflow that it will come also over Judah. And yet, O Emmanuel, is it not thy land? Hast thou not an interest in it, O Emmanuel? And hast thou not made a decree concerning it from that never begun eternity? Hast thou not made a promise concerning it also and revealed it to thy people? O Emmanuel, what is it? What is the name that is God with us? God with us. Is that not the sign that the Lord has given by the mouth of Isaiah unto Ahaz in his great fear of the enemy, and not especially unto Ahaz, but unto the remnant of that people that mourned for the sin of that nation? Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, that is God with us. O Emmanuel, he says, is that not thy promise? Is it not thy land? Wilt thou not come then and be with us? Oh, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all those that hate us. O Emmanuel, all the waters, they are reaching unto the neck, O Emmanuel. They threaten to cut us off completely. Can thy people then perish, O Emmanuel? Can the floods, can they really overreach us? Can the enemy really have the victory? Can the enemy rejoice over thy decree, over thy revelation, over thy promise? Is it not thy land, O Emmanuel? Come quickly and be with us and save us from all that hate us and will destroy us. Let us sing. 188. 1, 2, and 4. Make haste, O my God, to deliver, I pray. O Lord, to my rescue make haste, and let those who would harm me be filled with dismay, and in their own folly disgraced. 1, 2, and 4 of 188.
Thank you.
Emmanuel. Our second thought, Isaiah's appeal unto the name of the promised Emmanuel, granting and emboldening by faith against every enemy. Congregation, we are so miserable. We are so vain. We are so carnal. And how is that with God's children? That is, that it is so often that it seems like there is nothing, that there is no desire, that there is no love, that there is no need, that there is no faith. If the Lord does not give it, then there is not even a sigh for a sigh. David, he says, my soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken me according to thy word. O Lord, quicken me. Did he not have a new heart, children? Oh, yes. From when he was young. But he asked the Lord, wilt thou quicken it? Give me life to be felt in my soul. And when the Lord does it, then how different it becomes. Then there is life. Then there is light. Then there is liberty. Then there is need. Then there is desire. Then there is faith. How important that we use the means. Because often it is in the use of the means that the life that is in the living in the heart of God's children that is quickened, that they are reading, and the Lord is making their heart to burn within them. Isaiah, he was a servant of the Lord. He had a blessed work. Do you believe that, young people? He had a blessed work. Why? Because that he may deal in the word of the Lord. Maybe there is in the heart of some of you that you say that is a blessed work. If I may only do that work, oh, the Lord raise up among you God-fearing young men who may do that work, but then we need to be called from the Lord. Is that work easy? No. No, that was not so easy for Isaiah, because Isaiah had to go to a people for unto whom the destruction was coming. And he had to announce that to that people, and the Lord said to him beforehand how it was going to be. They were not going to listen to it. Go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see and indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and be converted and be healed. Then I said, how, Lord, how long? And he answered, until the cities be wasted without inhabitant, and the houses without man, and the land be utterly desolate, and the Lord have removed men far away, and there be a great forsaking in the midst of the land. All the preaching of Isaiah. Oh, the Lord said beforehand, they are not going to listen to you. Thus, that was a very difficult, that was a very heavy task for Isaiah. And yet, congregation, there was that remnant. and the heart of Isaiah that is burning for that people, that people that were among them that were in a great need. The greatest part of the people, they despised the words of Isaiah. That was like we read in Ezekiel, that his word was to them just like a lovely song. Just like a lovely song. Like he sang for a little while, and then they went away. They enjoyed that song, and then they left and they forgot it. But there was a remnant that was fed. That was fed by the word of the Lord that he gave through his prophet Isaiah. Thus the Lord gave a message, especially for that people, and even for Isaiah himself. Thus, we have seen how that heart of Isaiah that is bleeding for Judah, because he has to announce there are judgments coming. That water of that flood that is coming to Ephraim, that is also going to come unto Judah. And when he has announced them, and then his heart that has turned unto the Lord, and it has said, O Emmanuel, it is thy land. It is thy land. Oh, he has besought the Lord. And now look what the Lord does. When Isaiah, he is beseeching the Lord, it is thy land, O Emmanuel. Then the Lord comes. And the Lord gives to Isaiah a view. He gives Isaiah to see into that future. What is now coming? And he sees the victory that is promised unto that church of God through that coming Emmanuel. Read it. Verses 9 and 10. Associate yourselves, O ye people, and ye shall be broken in pieces, and give ear, all ye far countries. Gird yourselves, and ye shall be broken in pieces. Gird yourselves, and ye shall be broken in pieces. Take counsel together, and it shall come to naught. Speak the word, and it shall not stand. For God is with us. Emmanuel. Suddenly, Isaiah has no more fear. Has no more fear. Oh, he looks, and he is given by the Lord to behold the might, the power, the strength of that promised deliverer who was coming in the future. Oh, that incarnation of that Son of God that becomes such an encouragement, that becomes such a strength unto Isaiah. Why? Because in that child, he says, God is with us. In that child, there is reconciliation between God and our soul. In that child, the Lord has taken away all our iniquities. In that child, there is the communion, there is the favor of the Lord. And now how well it is for such a people when God is with us. Because, he says, what does Paul say? If God be for us, who can be against us? O congregation, may you ever experience this. Look, look what Isaiah does in that moment. when he may cry unto Emmanuel, and when Emmanuel may reveal himself, when he may show himself who he is. And Isaiah, he is standing there with his people in expectation of all of that enemy. Then see what he does. He invites that enemy, every one of them. He says, come. Come. Do what you will. Try what you may. Gather yourselves together, he says. Associate yourselves, O ye people. That is Assyria. Associate yourselves. And every nation of the world that would like to join yourselves unto Assyria because of your hatred of the true church of God and the God of the church. Associate yourselves. Build up your armies. Come with every soldier that you have. Bring every weapon that you have. Take counsel together. Speak together. Go into your closet and see what kind of plan you can make against the people of the Lord. Do whatever that you can. Associate yourselves, all ye people, and ye shall be broken in pieces. And give ear, all ye far countries, gird yourselves, and ye shall be broken in pieces. Gird yourselves, and ye shall be broken in pieces. Take counsel together, and it shall come to naught. Speak the word, and it shall not stand. Why not? For God is with us. O Emmanuel, it is the triumph of faith. The triumph of faith and congregation. That man, in that moment, he is not afraid of the greatest enemies in the whole world. Oh, who can describe what there is for the church of God, the remnant of the Lord, in that blessed child, Ahaz, and all the visible church? They are not interested in that sign. They despise it. They had other hopes, secret hopes. Assyria. Man, that is congregation, you and me by nature. Secretly, he was religious enough. His words, they were religious enough. But his heart depended upon man. And that is you and me too. We have a religion, but upon what does our heart depend? We have our own righteousness, a creature righteousness. We have our own strength. We have our own wisdom. And as long as these are not gone, what is that name of Emmanuel? Let us be honest. Before the Lord in this hour, what is that to us? He said, that time is coming. We will commemorate Christmas. What is it? What means it for your heart? That remnant, the remnant, they have enemies. An enemy. Do you have an enemy? A triple-headed enemy. What is it? Satan, the world, and their own flesh. Sin in their own flesh. Oh, congregation, is that also our enemy? In the beginning, when the Lord makes them first alive, then they think they can overcome that enemy. They're going to try it. Do you try that, children? You say in the morning when you come up, oh, today, then I am not going to sin. I am not going to sin. because sin that grieves me. And they think they are going to conquer that enemy. That is a church that enters a warfare. It is a militant church. And how does it go? How does it go? There is a hypocrite. Or the hypocrite, he gets better and better. And he conquers more and more. And he becomes quite a good person. And how does it go with God's children? It gets worse and worse. It gets worse and worse. Why? Because all that is from ourself that needs to be cut off. Do not think there are people that mock with an enemy, that mock with the devil, that mock with sin. No, they fear it because that is greater, an enemy that has more power than they experience, they are able to overcome. And they fear that one day that they are going to be overrun by that flood, by that enemy. How far does it go? He shall reach even unto the neck. Even unto the neck. O congregation, what did those disciples say in the midst of the storm? They said, we perish. We perish. Oh, is there also a people among us that say, I perish, I perish? Do you know what they did? They cried. They cried. They said, Lord, save us. We perish. And then when they cried to him, what did the Lord do? He showed them something. They may experience something of the power of the Lord. When he rebuked the wind and the waves, and then there was a great calm. And then he encouraged them. And he said, where is your faith? But then read it, because we read that the disciples, they marveled. And when they marveled, they said this, what manner of man is this? That even the wind and the sea obey him. Do you hear it? What manner of man, when the divine nature that shone through his human nature in that moment, they say, what manner of man? Oh, what did they see? The Lord gave them to see the divine in the man. The Lord gave them a little entrance into the mystery of Emmanuel. Emmanuel. What manner of man is this? And now Isaiah, he cries unto God. And he says, O Emmanuel. And when he cries unto him, what does the Lord do? The Lord gives him a little opening into that mystery of that Emmanuel, of his power, of his victory. And there was a great calm. There was a great calm in the heart of that man. So that there was not an enemy in the whole world that was able to come against him and against the people of the Lord. O congregation, when the Lord, when he will open a little bit of that mystery of God come in the flesh, that Emmanuel, in the revelation of himself, then there is a people that can say to the devil that he may come with all his devices. Oh, then there is not any fear. There is not a sin in their life to be seen in that moment. We do not say it doesn't come back again, but in that moment, oh, to see, to view the victory in that Emmanuel who has, in his human nature, paid the price for sin and is in his divine nature bruised the head of the prince of darkness. So for that people, there is not an enemy anymore. No weapon that is formed against them shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise up against them in judgment, they shall condemn. That is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness that is of him. O Emmanuel. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, instruct us in all thy truth, that we also may enter into that warfare that is too great for us, that we may need thy only begotten Son, and that he also may be revealed, that he may be opened unto us in thy good pleasure. Oh, remember us, bring us safely to our places. Help him that will go before us in this afternoon. Be with us all together. Give thy word a place in our hearts, meditation thereupon, and fruit upon it. For Jesus' sake, amen. 353. Now Israel may say, and that in truth, if that the Lord had not our right maintained, if that the Lord had not with us maintained, when cruel men against us rose to strive, we surely have been swallowed up alive. 1, 2, and 3 of 353. Thank you. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.